Okay, let's unpack this. AI, I mean, the buzz is just everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah.
And nowhere does it feel more, well, potentially transformative or maybe even a bit intimidating than in the pharmaceutical world.
Definitely.
If you've been in conversations about it, you know the jargon just flies thick and fast. ML, DL, LLMs, predictive analytics, NLP, it can really make your head spin.
It absolutely can.
That's exactly why we're doing this deep dive today. We've pulled from a source that's really designed to, cut through that noise
Right.
to make these terms accessible, not really for the deep tech engineers, but for anyone involved in, say, the business strategy side.
That's exactly right. The goal here isn't to turn you into a technical guru overnight,
No, definitely not.
but it's more about arming you with enough understanding so you feel confident in those strategic discussions. You hear a term, you grasp the core idea, and maybe more importantly, its potential business use.
Yeah, this so.
Exactly. Our mission is basically to pull out the essential nuggets from this source material so you, the listener, can participate meaningfully in shaping how AI gets used in pharma without getting totally lost in a technical fog.
Perfect. So let's jump right in then. If we're going to talk strategy, we really need a shared language first.
Yeah.
What's the absolute foundational term here, the big umbrella concept?
Well, that really has to be artificial intelligence itself, AI.
Okay.
At its core, AI is about enabling machines, computers, to do tasks that historically, required human
Like
intelligence.
what sort of tasks?
Well, things like recognizing complex patterns, making decisions based on data processing and actually understanding language, or solving problems that need some level of reasoning.
Okay. And in the pharma world, what does that actually look like? A machine doing a human-type task with AI.
You see it a lot in areas where humans are good, but while scale is a real issue.
Right.
So, analyzing countless medical images to spot subtle anomalies, AI can do that incredibly fast.
Much faster than a person could.
Exactly. Or predicting potential outcomes much, much earlier in clinical trials based on really complex data sets. Even something as fundamental as, say, sifting through massive amounts of biological data to identify entirely new potential drug targets. These are tasks that would just take human researchers an impossible amount of time.
Okay, so AI is the big capability, the goal.
Yeah.
How do these machines actually do it, though? What's the underlying structure,
Yeah.
within structure?
Well, that brings us neatly to algorithms.
Algorithms, okay.
Think of an algorithm as like the specific step-by-step recipe a computer follows to get to a particular outcome. It's a really defined process for solving a problem or doing a calculation.
Gotcha. So if the AI is, I don't know, baking the cake,
Right.
the algorithm is the precise recipe in the book, mix this much heated to this temp for this long.
Exactly that. Yeah, they're the logical backbone. So in pharma, algorithms are the core processes used in, well, everything from predicting how a molecule might behave to identifying potential drug interactions by chewing through vast data sets against known rules or patterns. They dictate the exact sequence of operations.
Okay, got it. So AI, broad field, algorithms. Specific steps. Now, a term we hear constantly, machine learning, ML. How does ML fit into this picture? Is it different from an algorithm?
It is and it isn't. Machine learning is a really significant subset of AI, and it's where the intelligence part starts to get, well, really interesting.
Okay.
Instead of a person writing an algorithm with explicit instructions for every single possible scenario the machine might ever see.
Which sounds impossible.
Right. ML systems are designed to actually learn from data. You feed them lots and lots of examples, and they automatically spot patterns, build models, and then make predictions or decisions without being explicitly programmed for every single rule.
Ah, okay. So instead of programming it like if the image has this specific feature and this color, then it's disease X, you just show it thousands of images already labeled as X.
Exactly.
And the ML algorithm figures out for itself which features and colors are characteristic of X.
Precisely. And this ability to learn directly from data is just transformative. In pharma, for instance, ML is used heavily to predict the likelihood of success for a new drug candidate based on all the preclinical data,
Okay.
or to identify specific patient subgroups who are most likely to respond really well to a particular therapy. It's pushing towards more personalized medicine.
That leap from just following explicit instructions to actually learning from examples, that feels like a huge step change in capability.
It really is.
And then within ML, we often hear about deep learning, DL, and also neural networks. Now, this sounds like it's getting even more complex, maybe.
Well, deep learning is indeed a subset of machine learning, yeah, but it's a particularly powerful one. It's
Yeah.
actually inspired by the structure and function of the human brain.
Oh, interesting.
Specifically, how our neurons process information in layers. So deep learning models, which are often built on something called neural networks, are exceptionally good at identifying really complex sort of hierarchical patterns directly from raw data, things like images, sound, or unstructured text.
So wait, deep learning is the approach, and neural networks are the sort of computing architecture that makes it work. Is that right?
Correct, yep. Neural networks are these interconnected layers of nodes. You can think of them like artificial neurons that process information in a way that's somewhat similar to how neurons in our brain do.
Okay.
And this layered architecture allows deep learning models to automatically learn representations of data at multiple levels of abstraction. That makes them incredibly effective for tasks needing really sophisticated pattern recognition.
And where are we seeing deep learning really make a difference in pharma applications?
Oh, in quite a few areas. Analyzing very complex medical imaging, for example, high-resolution scans looking for subtle signs of disease that even a highly trained human eye might miss. Also, predicting how complex molecules will interact or fold based just on their intricate structures. And critically, sifting through and understanding the meaning within huge databases of unstructured scientific literature and clinical notes.
Okay, so ML learns from data. DL is a powerful type of ML, great for complex patterns, uses neural networks. Now, you mentioned ML learns from data. The source we look at talks about different types of learning. Can you break down supervised versus unsupervised learning?
Absolutely. So think of supervised learning as, well, learning with a teacher who gives you the answers.
Okay, like flashcards.
Kind of, yeah. You feed the model labeled data, that's data where you already know the correct outcome or the right classification. For instance, you show it patient data and you tell it whether that specific patient responded to the treatment or not.
So you give it the answer key.
Exactly. The model learns to identify the patterns in the input data that lead to that specific known outcome. It's all about learning a mapping from an input to a known output.
Okay, so you're supervising its learning against known truths. What about unsupervised learning then? Does that mean it learns without a teacher?
Precisely, yeah. With unsupervised learning, you feed the model data that is not labeled. You don't tell it the right answers.
What does it do?
Instead, the algorithm just looks for hidden structures, patterns, relationships within the data, all on its own. It's really powerful for exploratory analysis, like discovering clusters of similar data points you didn't even know existed.
Like finding new patient groups.
Exactly. Maybe identifying previously unrecognized segments within a patient population based purely on, say, their genetic profiles or their treatment histories, things you weren't specifically looking for.
That sounds incredibly useful for finding novel insights, things you weren't even looking for.
It can be, yeah.
Now, for both of these approaches, supervised or unsupervised, the data itself seems absolutely critical. The source really emphasizes the role of training data and validation.
Oh, completely. Training data is the data set you use to actually teach your ML or DL model. It's the set of examples the model sees to learn the patterns, and the quality, the quantity, the relevance of this training data. It's absolutely foundational.
Right.
If your training data is biased or incomplete or just bad quality, your model will inevitably reflect those flaws. It's the classic garbage in, garbage out principle, just on a massive scale.
Right. Makes sense. So the model learns on this training data, but how do you actually know if it'll work in the real world on data it hasn't seen before?
Ah, that's where validation comes in. And it is so crucial. After you've trained your model, you have to test it on a completely separate data set. The validation data. This is data the model has never encountered during its training. This is
Exactly.
really the only way to get a reliable estimate of how well your model is likely to perform on new, unseen, real-world data. It also helps you detect if your model has overfit the training data.
Overfit, what's that mean?
Overfitting is when the model becomes too specialized in recognizing patterns that are unique only to the training set. It learns the training data too well, including its noise and quirks.
So it wouldn't work well on anything else.
Exactly. It won't generalize well to new data. Validation helps catch that.
So validation is absolutely key to actually trusting the model.
Okay. Now, shifting gears just a little bit. Pharma isn't just about numbers and images, right? It's also about immense amounts of text research papers, clinical notes, regulatory documents, patient feedback. How does AI handle all that language?
Yeah, good question. That's the domain of natural language processing, or NLP.
NLP.
NLP essentially gives computers the ability to understand, interpret, and even generate human language. It's about transforming all that unstructured text into something computers can actually process and analyze.
So taking something like, say, a doctor scribbled clinical note or a patient's free text comment on a forum and making sense of it. Precisely that. NLP powers applications like automatically extracting key information from thousands of research papers or summarizing lengthy clinical trial reports, identifying sentiment, positive or negative, in patient forums, or even helping analyze patterns across loads of physician notes to understand real-world treatment pathways.
Okay, so NLP helps computers understand language that already exists. But what about AI that creates new language or new content in general? This is where generative AI comes in, which feels like it's just exploded recently.
It certainly has, hasn't it? Generative AI is a type of AI that's specifically focused on creating new content. So this isn't just analyzing existing data. It's actually about generating novel text, images, computer queried, even potentially new molecular structures.
And the term everyone knows now, LLMs, large language models, they fit under this generative AI umbrella, right?
Yes, absolutely. Large language models are a very prominent type of generative AI. They're specifically trained on truly vast, like internet scale, quantities of text data.
Huge amounts.
Massive. And this huge training allows them to understand context, generate coherent and surprisingly human-like text, answer questions, summarize information, translate languages. Like, you know, think of the well-known examples out there like ChatGPT.
Right. And beyond just, you know, chatting or writing emails, how are LLMs finding actual applications in the pharmaceutical world, according to the source?
Well, their ability to process and generate human-like text is proving valuable for things like analyzing and summarizing enormous bodies of scientific literature very quickly.
Okay.
Also, maybe drafting initial versions of regulatory documents or clinical study reports by synthesizing information from various sources, or even generating content for things like patient education materials or physician communications, though, of course, always subject to rigorous human review and fact-checking.
Absolutely. That human oversight seems critical. Okay, so we've covered the core concepts, how machines learn, how they handle language, how they even generate content. All of this incredible capability seems to hinge on one fundamental resource, data. And our source talks quite a bit about big data. What makes data big in the pharma context? Is it just that there's a lot of it?
Well, volume is definitely part of it, but big data is usually characterized by more than just size. It's often described by the three V's. Volume, yes, the sheer scale of data being collected.
Okay.
Velocity, which is the speed at which new data is constantly being generated. And variety, meaning the diverse range of data types and sources involved.
And pharma seems to generate this kind of data from, well, pretty much every angle now.
Oh, absolutely. Think about the massive data sets coming from large-scale clinical trials, high-throughput genomic sequencing, continuous monitoring data from wearables or remote patient devices,
right,
real-world evidence pouring out of electronic health records, and constant post-market surveillance data. This data is huge, it's arriving incredibly fast, and it comes in all sorts of different formats, text, numbers, images, genetic sequences, you name it.
Okay, so you've got this absolute ocean of big data. How do you actually start extracting value from it using these AI concepts we've discussed? The source mentions data mining and predictive analytics.
Right. So data mining is essentially the process of exploring and analyzing these large data sets to discover patterns, trends, and insights that aren't immediately obvious. The source uses a nice analogy, prospecting for gold.
Ah, sifting through the dirt.
Exactly. You're sifting through a lot of raw material to find those valuable nuggets of information. It's really about uncovering hidden relationships within the data you already have.
Can you give a concrete pharma example? What might data mining uncover that's useful?
Well, data mining might reveal, say, unexpected correlations between specific patient demographics, maybe lifestyle factors, or even their historical treatment patterns, and how they ultimately respond to a particular drug.
Ah, okay.
It could potentially identify new predictors of efficacy or maybe risk factors that weren't even anticipated during the original study design.
That's fascinating, finding connections you weren't explicitly looking for. And predictive analytics. Yeah, that takes it a step further then.
Exactly. Predictive analytics uses techniques like data mining, statistical modeling, and machine learning to analyze current and historical data specifically to predict future outcomes. It's about forecasting what is likely to happen next based on the patterns you've observed in the past.
So instead of just seeing a correlation, you're using that correlation to actually forecast something, like predicting who's going to respond well to a drug.
Precisely. Examples would include predicting which individual patients are most likely to be high responders to a new therapy based on their specific profile,
Right.
or forecasting the probability of success, or maybe the completion time for different arms of a complex clinical trial, or even predicting future market demand for a drug based on a whole host of complex influencing factors.
And the source also highlights real-time analytics. That sounds incredibly immediate, almost instantaneous.
It is. Real-time analytics involves analyzing data pretty much as it's generated or ingested. This allows for immediate insights and potentially immediate actions. It's critical in scenarios where a rapid response is really necessary.
Like safety monitoring.
Exactly. In pharma, a key example is continuously monitoring safety signals from clinical trial data as it arrives, flagging potential adverse events the very moment they're reported.
Wow.
Or maybe monitoring patient adherence based on data coming from connected devices like smart inhalers instantaneously.
Okay, we've covered a significant amount of ground here, from the broad idea of AI down to specific types of learning and how we handle all these different kinds of data. Doing all this complex analysis, especially with big data and these huge models, must require massive computing power, right?
Oh, absolutely. Enormous amounts. And that's really where cloud computing becomes such essential infrastructure for modern pharma AI. Yeah. Instead of every single company needing to invest, potentially billions in building and managing their own supercomputing data centers.
Which most can't do.
Right. They can access vast, scalable computing resources over the internet from cloud providers like AWS, Google Cloud, Azure, and others.
And why is that particularly important for the specific AI applications we've been talking about?
Because training these really complex deep learning models or running massive data mining processes on petabytes of big data requires immense processing power, the kind that would be prohibitively expensive and incredibly difficult for most individual companies to build and maintain on-premise.
Right.
Cloud computing provides that power and, crucially, that on-demand scalability. It sort of democratizes access to these advanced AI capabilities.
This has been incredibly helpful, I think, in demystifying what really felt like a mountain of jargon before we started. So, bringing back to the source's core message, what's the single most important takeaway for someone on the business side of pharma trying to engage with these technologies?
I think the source really emphasizes that while all the terminology sounds incredibly complex, the underlying actions that AI performs, things like recognizing patterns, making predictions, or generating new content, these are fundamentally familiar concepts.
There are things we already understand in business.
Exactly. The absolute key is to always focus on how these techniques can actually be applied to solve specific business problems or maybe unlock new opportunities, rather than getting completely hung up on the intricate technical details of the algorithms themselves.
Right. It always comes back to the strategic outcome, the business value.
Yeah, precisely. And the source highlights that most AI discussions in pharma, particularly on the market research or general business strategy side, can usually be boiled down to one of those three core functions.
Yeah.
Are we using AI primarily for pattern recognition? Is it mainly for prediction, or is it about content generation?
Just knowing those three buckets helps simplify things.
It really does. Understanding that helps cut through a huge amount of the buzz and the hype.
And it empowers you, doesn't it? If someone comes into a meeting talking about a new AI project, you can now ask more informed questions about which of these fundamental approaches they're actually using.
Yeah.
And critically, why that specific approach is the right one, why it's relevant to the particular challenge you're facing.
It shifts the conversation immediately from, wow, is AI magic? To something much more practical, like, okay, how can we use pattern recognition effectively here? Or prediction? Or generation?
So to leave you, our listener, with something really actionable from this deep dive, the source offers up a great smart question, something you can actually take into your next meeting when AI inevitably comes up.
Yeah, it's a good one. The question is basically this. Considering our specific business challenge right now, which of these core AI approaches, whether it's pattern recognition via ML, predicting future outcomes, or generating new insights or content, which one would be most relevant? And crucially, how would we measure success in practical, tangible business terms?
Framing the conversation around that question immediately grounds it in business value and measurable results, doesn't it? It cuts right through the hype.
Completely.
Demystifying these terms isn't just some academic exercise. It really feels like a prerequisite for having productive, strategic conversations about how to actually leverage AI effectively in the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah, it moves the whole discussion from just, you know, vague possibility to concrete application and real-world value.
And that feels like a really solid place to wrap this up. Keep that question handy, maybe jot it down, and think about where these different AI capabilities, pattern recognition, prediction, generation, could potentially apply in your own work.